What's up, everyone? Eddie Mercado here with BloodyElbow.com, and I'm about to speak with the Motown phenom, Kevin Lee, ahead of his UFC Fight Night 99 bout with Magomed Mustafayev on November 19th. So let's give Kevin a call and find out what he's been up to since his last bout, find out what he has in store for Mustafayev, and find out his thoughts on traveling to Belfast, Northern Ireland. Oh, Kevin Lee, thank you so much for taking out the time. The Motown phenom, currently
yes, sir.
13-2 overall, 6-2 in the UFC. One of the top lightweight prospects in the UFC. On a coming off of a huge TKO victory over Jake Matthews. I mean, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, this is a good fight for me. Taking on this Russian Mustafa, however I say his name.
Magomed Mustafayev.
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm in shape. I'm ready to fight now.
Okay, awesome. Now, I mean, you came into the UFC by storm. You took on Al Iaquinta in a very entertaining bout. You overcame some early adversity, had a near submission in the second. I mean, it was a very entertaining fight. Does that particular fight hold any significance to you?
Yeah, you know, that's one that I've been meaning to get back. It's one that shouldn't be there. You know, I think if we fight now, it'll be a totally different story. I'll wipe the mat with him. So, you know, he's got his own little troubles he's going through now. But when he gets back, he's definitely going to have to see me. I can't let it go. So, you know, I'm a much better fighter than I was then, and I'm a much better fighter now. So, and he stagnated a little bit. So, you know, we'll see when it comes back around. You know, I just got to convince Joe to give me that fight.
Okay. After Iaquinta, you had three straight decision victories, and then you faced James Muntasari. And you overcame some more adversity. You got poked in the eye, and I think he kind of pretended to get poked in the eye, maybe?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? That was kind of like a...
You know, it was actually where that came from was the fight before that with Michelle Prezeris. I got poked really early in the eye, and it scratched off a large part of my cornea, I think like 90% of my cornea. So, wow. You know, I've been having eye trouble since. You know, I've since had surgery, and it's really fixed it. But going into that fight with James... it was a bit of a scare with a poke in the eye, but you know, hey, you make do with what it is, you know. I got through that fight with Michelle with one eye, and you know, pretty much dominated the fight, and now he's on his own little run. So you know, you make do.
Okay, it seemed like it pissed you off because afterwards, I mean, you just went right in, you took him down, you took his back, and you strangled him. How do you feel to get your first submission win in the UFC?
You know, James is one of the best strikers, I think, in this division still. I think he's since moved up to lightweight after that, or to 170 after that fight. But I said it going before that fight. He's one of the best strikers. You know, you look at him, and he's a guy that I think was a Olympic Taekwondo. He was on the Olympic Taekwondo team. And, you know, one of the best kickers in his division for sure. So I wanted to show that I can outkick him, I can outstrike him, which I did. Every time he kicked me, I kicked him back harder. But, you know, my wrestling is something that will always be my base and something that I can always lean on. And nobody in this division can stop me from doing it.
Okay. Now, following that, you went and fought Leonardo Santos. And you got clipped in the first. And he kind of hopped on you, started raining down punches. Now, you weren't out, but the ref stopped the fight. What do you think about the stoppage? You think it was a justified stoppage?
You know, I tracked down Big John after that fight. He was up doing an Invicta fight over in California, maybe in February, and that fight was in December. And, you know, I cornered him, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like, why'd you stop the fight? You know, I was pretty pissed off about it. I still don't think he should have stopped that. But, you know, he kind of explained it to me. And, you know, it's just experience. It's just, you know, knowing where I am and making sure the ref knows that that I'm still in there and I'm still in the fight. You know, and it just comes with experience. You see a lot of these older guys, they get clipped, they go down, and they're a little bit smarter about it. You know, I wasn't hurt, so I just decided I'll just stand up. And, you know, standing up is where I was wobbling and he stopped it. So, you know, Big John explained it to me. I understood it. It is what it is, you know. It was my own fault. It was, you know, it was overconfidence on my part. But, you know, it is what it is. So.
Okay. Now, you really seemed like you were trying to work your strikes that fight. Like you were, I think you were caught throwing an uppercut. I think it was, in the midst of a combination. Now, is that one of the fights that you kind of want back in the same way as Iaquinta, or is the Iaquinta one really?
The Iaquinta one is the one that I'm really looking forward to, but just because that fight with Leo, you know, I know I'm a better fighter. Leo knows I'm a better fighter, and 99% of fight fans know I'm a better fighter. You know, so that was one where I just lost to myself, you know. I think if we fight 100 times, you know, 99 times I win. He had the one time where he got lucky and won. So, you know, when you know, he's one of the best on the ground, you know, his jiu-jitsu. And when we were grappling, I felt I was much stronger. And that's where I kind of lost the respect for his stand-up and went in blind, went in stupid. And, you know, it's just part of the experience. It's just part of growing. So, you know, that's one that I don't even take as a loss. I say it was a win because I learned more from that fight than any of the wins that I had. So, you know. I'm not even too interested in the fight again. You know, if they offer it, I'll take it. You know, and I'll whoop his ass. But you know, 99% of people, you know, there were 17,000 people in that arena, and they all knew I was gonna win. It's just, you know, the one guy didn't.
Okay, now after that, you fought Efrain Escudero, you decisively beat him, and then after that, you had Jake Matthews, which was interesting. There was a moment where you, I think you threw an overhand right and knocked his mouthpiece out. And, like, and you showed mercy. You, like, you let him off the hook and was like, hey, go ahead and put your mouthpiece in.
Well, like, yeah. You know, for a split second there, I was going to throw something serious at him, you know, and look to capitalize. But I realized, you know, he's young, he's dumb. And, you know, he's growing too, you know, he's inexperienced. So maybe he didn't know once you get your mouthpiece knocked out, it's shame on you, you know. But I let him off on that one because, you know, nobody would ever let me hear that down if I would have knocked him out right there. And, yeah. And it would have always been that asterisk, you know. That's not what I'm really looking for. You know, I want to prove that I'm the better fighter without a doubt. So, you know, I ain't want nothing stupid where it was, you know, like an asterisk or anything, you know.
It proved to be a wise move because it was almost like positive instant karma. I mean, as soon as his mouthpiece came in, you went in, you took him down, you took his back, flattened him out, and just started pounding on him, and that was all she wrote.
When I decide to do that to anybody in this division, I can at any moment, you know? It's just if I want to or not. I think I'm the best wrestler, hands down, in this division. You know, I don't even see anybody who's close. So, you know, if I decide there's not a man in at 155 or at 170 for that matter that can stop me.
Okay, definitely an exciting performance. How did it feel to get your first TKO in the UFC?
You know, it is, you know, it's cool, I guess, you know. When you got stuff like that and you beat them in the first round, you're like, oh, damn, I should just do that every time, you know. It's easy. You know, you make your money, you walk out, you know, no bumps, no bruises, don't got to go to the hospital. It's always easy. But, you know, I train everyone like it's a championship fight. I'm ready to go 25 minutes every time, so in a 15-minute fight. So, you know, I'm ready for the long haul. I actually prefer the long haul. You know, there's changes in my mindset that I've been working on and getting guys out of there earlier, but I'm always ready for the long haul. My cardio is one of my best weapons. And, you know, I showed in like the Efren fight or the, fight with Michelle Prezeris, you know, the in the later rounds, I really shine. You know, I just turn it up a little bit earlier now.
Okay. Now, after that fight, you called out Iaquinta. For whatever reason it fell through, I think he's, having contractual issues maybe or something like that. So hopefully you guys will get to get it in a little bit further down the road.
We got to, yeah.
On your plate right now, you're headed to Belfast, Northern Ireland. UFC yes, Fight Night 99. What do you think about having your first UFC fight outside of the U.S.?
You know, it's cool, I guess. You know, I prefer to stay here in Vegas, you know, right around the corner. But, you know, it'll be cool. It's not really, you know, it's a work thing. So, you know, I can't really enjoy Ireland or I can't, you know, do anything. I can't eat or, you know, have a good time. But it'll be, you know, once we get into the octagons are all the same no matter where they are in the world. So, you know, this is like neutral ground for me. And this kid's coming from Russia. So it's neutral ground. It'll be my ground once it's over.
Okay. Now, are you doing anything to prepare for the time difference?
I'll be going out 2 weeks early. So I'll be leaving from Vegas here maybe in 10 days or so, something like that, just to get ready for that time difference and the change in altitude.
Okay. Are you going to maybe see some sights while you're out there or anything?
Not really. Nah, I think I'm going to be in a hotel the whole time. You know, I got a nutritionist coming with me this time too. Nutrition, who's worked with guys like John Jones and Johnny Hendricks and Anthony Pettis. You know, he's coming out there with me too. You know, I got Dewey Cooper. I got Robert Fallis and my manager coming out too. So we got a whole team. We got a whole army, but we just going to be in the hotel the whole time. It's going, you know, the hotel rooms look the same no matter where you are in the world. So, you know, it is, you know.
Okay.
Maybe after the fight, I'll stick around, have a good time, drink some Guinness or whatever they have over there. You know, lots of whiskey, and you know, we'll say that for the after party.
Okay, fair enough. Now on your plate, Magomed Mustafayev. He is 13-1. All of those 13 wins have been finishes. He's a flashy striker. What do you think of his style?
You know, strong striker, like you said, aggressive. Should make for a damn good fight. He's one of the guys, he'll go out on his shield, you know, he won't lay down and just, you know, look to stall, look to hold on, look to just lose a decision. He'll go out on his shield, he'll get knocked out. So, it's definitely a benefit for me. You know, when you look at our skills, skill for skill, you know, I shine everywhere. You know, I outshine him in each one of the areas. So this is one of the ones that will really test my maturity and really will test my growth as a fighter. You know, the last time I had a matchup like this was Leonardo. So, you know, this will be one of the ones where you really see me shine as an athlete and mature as a man.
Okay, awesome. Now, yeah, like you said, you're down for the long haul. Mustafayev has yet to see a third round. Is that maybe the game plan? Take him into deep waters and let him drown?
You know, no, the game plan will be, you know, put it on him in the first round. You know, my 100% is going to be his 70%. So I'm going to put 100% on him from the get-go. And I just have that confidence knowing that once it does go to that third, I can still push him at 100%. And he'll be at 40%. So, you know, if he makes it that far, then it'll definitely be my benefit. But I honestly don't see it going that far.
Okay. Now, how's training camp going? Of course, you're out at Extreme Couture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going smooth. You know, I'm over here. I just got doing some strength and conditioning with my conditioning coach, Corey Goodwin, just now. You know, I've been over at Extreme. I've been over at One Kick Nick's gym with Dewey Cooper. It's going smooth. You know, training camp's right on, you know, weight's right on point. Everything is smooth. So we just ready to fight now.
Okay, awesome. You got a prediction for this fight?
You know, like I said, I think he goes out on the shield. I think he gets TKO'd. I'll give him the second round. You know, I'll give him, you know, he's got some heart. You know, he's coming from that, you know, he's coming from Russia. He don't want to go back to that unemployment line. So he's going to fight his heart out. You know, they living on, I don't know what, you know, it's cold, it's icy. Conditions are bad. He don't want to go back. He gonna fight for his life, but he'll get finished in the second round. He'd be too exhausted. He won't. He'll go out on his shield. He'll throw a big punch. I'll slip it out counter, and he'll go down.
Okay, fair enough. Now, what would be next for the Motown Phenom?
You know, I don't know. You know, that's what I'm trying to figure that out too. You know, the UFC has a way of you know, kind of keeping you on ice for a little while, or. I don't know. Maybe, you know, we'll hop back in there next spring. But I'm looking for the right opponents. Right now, 155 is log jammed, especially at the top. You know, everybody's kind of been booked up. So, you know, I've been calling out everybody and their mom. You know, they keep turning me down. What can I do, you know? So we'll see where the division, especially after the, you know, the Conor McGregor and Alvarez fight shakes out, you know, and then you got RDA and Tony that are really fighting for the number one contendership. You know, you got all these top guys that are fighting right now. We'll see where they shake up and who comes out on bottom. So who comes out on top. So we'll see.
Okay. RDA or Tony Ferguson, who takes it?
I think Tony, you know, I think Tony's pressure will be a little too much. He'll be a little, I think his cardio will be too good. You know, I think RDA is on the decline for sure. You know, he cuts a whole lot of weight to make this weight. I don't think he can handle the pressure of Tony. And Tony is a beast. So I'm definitely going Tony. And Tony will be the number eight. You know, I've been sticking up for Tony. You know, me and Tony are both from Michigan. We went to the same college. Okay. I've been sticking up for him. Tony is the number one contender in this division. Why people say Khabib, I don't know. You know, right now it's Michigan versus Russia. And, you know, I just don't see why people say Khabib is the number one contender. The man hasn't fought in 2 years. And his only win over anybody in the top 10 is a guy that Tony is about to beat 2 years after the fact. So he's much better. I see Tony winning that and going on to fight Alvarez.
Okay. So I guess that's your prediction for Conor and Alvarez?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Alvarez stumps him. You know, I don't see Conor being able to hold past three rounds. Conor's got a round in him. After that, it's all downhill from there. You know, I think he's doing the wrong thing preparing over in Ireland. You know, I think he's probably bringing out a bunch of yes men, a bunch of guys that aren't going to push him in training, and then Alvarez is going to show him what's the real deal.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you got any sponsors or people you want to give a shout out to?
You know, right now with the Reebok thing, you know, I got the Reebok shorts on right now, so shout out to Reebok. That's what we'll say. We'll say shout out to Reebok and tell them to pay me some money.
Sure. Now, what are your social media platforms? How can people follow you on your journey?
Everybody always knows they can follow me at Motown Phenom everywhere, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is probably the best. I always reply on Twitter too. You know, just give me a few days and I'll get back to them. But at Motown Phenom everywhere for sure.
Awesome. Well, Kevin Lee, thank you so much for taking out the time. You're headed to Belfast, Northern Ireland, UFC Fight Night 99,
yes,
November 19th. Magomed Mustafayev on your plate, this Dagestani
Don't
Russian
on the show,
guy.
Baby.
Best of luck.
We're gonna put on the show, baby.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, my man.
Take care.
All right, take it easy, bro.
So there you have it. UFC lightweight prospect Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom, set to take on Magomed Mustafayev at UFC Fight Night 99 in Belfast, Northern Ireland on November 19th. Go check it out. In the meantime, you can read me on bloodyelbow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TheEddieMercado. And go be a good person.